Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of John, chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. John 8, 31 through 36. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants, and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Pastor?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, we are asking for special words from you today. And give us new life, a new spirit. And please help me to say everything that you'd have me to say. And please give everyone understanding and wisdom as they listen. In Jesus' name. Amen. So some of you are familiar with nickel and dime stores, right? You know what a nickel and dime store is? Yeah, well, there was a man, he came from out of town, and he's driving down the road, and he looked to the side and he saw this store. It was called Sideways 8. The store was called Sideways 8. And he says, "Well, Sideways 8, check this out." He goes into the store, and he walks in, looks like a normal store, looks at the milk there, and looks at the price, and it's a Sideways 8. And goes to look at the oranges, it's a Sideways 8. He decides to go over, check out the ice cream, Sideways 8. He looks at the Triscuit crackers, Sideways 8. Everything costs Sideways 8. So he finally comes to the checkout line, and you'll have to wait till the end of the message to hear what happens. So let's go to John chapter 8. Let's go over to John chapter 8. Oh, well, no, this is an upright 8. John chapter 8. And I'm going to read this again here. Then Jesus said to those, this is John 8 verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. I know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants, and we've never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever. But a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." You know, Jesus, like he often was, he was in a discussion with some people out in ministry. And, you know, there are some people, some Jews actually, that believed in him. And they wanted to follow him. And then he tells them this, you know, "If you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And not being spiritually discerning, they say, "We're not in bondage to anyone," and they don't catch the spirit of what Jesus is saying. The Bible says spiritual things are spiritually discerned. And Jesus, like he always did, he always had something deeper in mind for the people to understand. And then he gets to the point, and he tells them what he's really talking about. You know, he says, if you commit sin, you're a slave to sin. And a slave doesn't abide in the house forever. Therefore, if the Son of Man makes you free, you will be free indeed. And what house is he talking about? I question, I ask, what house is he talking about here? Well, these were Jews, actually. And so it seems that Jesus is talking about the house of Israel. And what was common in those days, I got to thinking, why was Jesus calling them slaves of sin? If you're in the house and you're sinning, you're just a slave and not a son. Well, what he's talking about is, you know, he's saying to them, you're in the house of Israel, and you're not getting the point of what I'm trying to tell you. You don't have to live in bondage to the sin that's on this earth. He's saying you actually, if you're living in sin in this house of Israel, you're just a slave, and you're eventually going to leave the house because you're leave or just not be there. I don't know what happens to the slave. The slave dies and just ends his service in the house, and that's it. Or the slave could end up escaping and leaving because he's just a slave. He's not there for a true heart reason like a son is. A son is part of the household. He's related to the owner of the house. So guess what? The son stays in the house forever. And Jesus wants us to be sons in the house of his church, of his people. He's asking us not to live as slaves to sin, because he says a slave doesn't abide forever. Jesus' house and his inheritance continues forever out into eternity. And if we abide as sons and daughters of Christ in his house, we'll abide forever. What is freedom? The sermon's called Free Indeed. And I looked up freedom in the dictionary. What's freedom? Here's what it says. The absence of necessity, coercion, or constraint in choice or action. Another definition is the power or condition of acting without compulsion. See, when Jesus says, you'll be free indeed, the sons in the house abide freely. They're in the house of Israel. He's talking to these Jews because he wants them to be this way. A free person, a son, is in the house because they want to be. They're in the house because they want to be part of the household that their dad's head of. But a slave in the household is there because they have to be. And there's a total difference there. Jesus says, a son stays, a slave leaves. Now, if a slave is in the house, they may still be in the house, but they're not serving willingly there. And God doesn't want his household members to be slaves. He wants them to be sons where they're serving in his household willingly, not just going through the drudgery of the work of the household. You know, God says, or the father says, do the dishes. The slave says, okay, does the dishes, cleans them, put them in the dishwasher, put them in. You vacuum the floor? Yeah, I'll vacuum the floor. Vacuum the floor. Mow the lawn. All right. That's a slave. But when a son gets the orders, wash the dishes, he says, all right, Dad, he washes with effort and diligence, and he does a good job, makes sure it all looks nice. You know, Dad says, mow the lawn. The son says, all right, Dad, I'll mow the lawn. He pushes the lawnmower quickly. It's too bad Hugh's not here today. I know he likes to run with pushing the lawnmower. So the son pushes diligently, joyfully. And so that's the difference between a slave and a son. A son serves joyfully, diligently, and from the heart, but a slave's just there doing the work. So I want to talk more about freedom here. When Jesus says to these people, you will be free indeed, they're thinking, free from what? We haven't been in bondage to anyone. That was already a falsehood. They'd been in bondage to the Egyptians and the Babylonians, so they didn't know their history very well. But the question for us too, though, is Jesus promises to make us free. What are we free from? Well, let's turn to Revelation 21. Revelation 21 and verse 8. These are the things we get to be free from when we follow Jesus. It says, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, liars, all have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Christ came to give us freedom from all the vices and evil character traits, any of those things. That's what we can actually be free from. We all have different things that the devil tempts us with. And part of God's promise for us is freedom from those things. Not freedom from temptation on this earth, but we have the freedom in victory over those things, and we have the freedom in eternity to not even be tempted by that anymore. That's the freedom that Christ is promising you. Are you tired of being tempted with the devil's wiles and sins? Are you tired of stumbling and falling? Are you tired of that? Jesus promises you freedom from that. And if you're not tired of it, ask Jesus to make you tired of it if you see your need. Because naturally, we don't even want to get rid of our sinful desires. But Christ can give you the victory over those things. What else did Jesus make us free from? Well, we know that sin ends in death. So Christ has made us free from death. It says here in verse 8, it says, those people that do those things have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We can have freedom from that fire and brimstone and second death. We can have total freedom from that. And you know, when that happens, the devil's going to raise up all the... he won't raise them up. He's going to tell them, he says, I've raised you from the dead, and it's time to go take the holy city. So the devil rallies up all the people that God has actually resurrected to be judged, and he rallies them. The Bible says Gog, Magog, everyone all over the earth. There's so many people, it says, it's as the numbers of the sands of the sea. And they go up to take what the Bible calls the beloved city. And Christ and all the saved are there. And they come up to take the city, but then they realize it's a futile effort. And fire comes down from heaven and actually destroys them. And Christ has promised us freedom from that destruction and that event. And so, if we're free from those things, what do we get in place of that? Well, here's what we get in place of that. Revelation 21 says, in verse, I must have mismarked that verse there. Oh, no, I didn't. Revelation 21, verse 22. So, in eternity, there's a temple in heaven. And it's a place where we don't need the sun or moon because God is the light of it. It doesn't say there's no sun or moon. It just says we don't need it to light it up. And so the Lamb is there. You know, the gates are made of pearls. And anyone who's living there gets to spend time with Christ and follow him around. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes. That's what we have to look forward to. And Jesus is promising us character traits like kindness, love, joy, peace, brotherly love, all those things. Are those some things that you want? Noble motives and aspirations, unselfish ways, faith, God has all of those things for each one of us. And that's the freedom that he's promising. Now, in the Bible, it tells us a little bit more about freedom also. The freedom to live in a godly way came at a price. And let's take a look at that in Romans 5. Romans chapter 5. In Romans 5, verses 12 through 21, Paul talks about how death entered the world through one man, and his name was Adam. And death and sin entered the world through Adam. And there's a few things that the Bible says about this free gift that he offers us. So, in Romans 5, there are three things I noticed. There could be more. Three things I noticed about this free gift. Did you know freedom is a free gift? I thought that was interesting. So, to be free, it's actually a free gift that you receive. And here's the free gift here in Romans chapter 5. In Romans 5:15, it says, "But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from the one offense in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." The free gift gives us access to a few different things. Here's the first thing. The free gift was, it abounded to many. That's what the Bible says here in verse 15. The free gift of freedom abounded to many through Jesus. Second thing that the free gift gives us is justification. Third thing the free gift gives us is a reign in life. And that's amazing there. So if you look at that, the gift was made available to many, abounded to many. The Bible says that Christ died for the whole world, abounded to many. Second thing the free gift is for justification. Because of sin and death, we are guilty, we are unclean before the throne of God because of our sins. And Jesus gives us justification. His perfect life record takes the place of our stained, filthy life record and gives us clearance, gives us free access, freedom indeed to the kingdom of heaven. And the free gift of freedom also includes the reign of life. That reign of life is obviously getting to live forever, but it says the reign of life. Remember, God's promise is for us to be on the throne with him. So the free gift gives us all of those things. And it's not like the offense. The offense of sin resulted in death. It resulted in condemnation, and it resulted in eternal loss for anyone who takes part in it. And Christ came to give us freedom from that. So there we just took a look at the fact that freedom is a free gift, and that free gift gave us access to different things and had different qualities. Now, what does freedom look like? Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians 7, verse 22. What does freedom look like? Someone comes and offers you freedom, and they say, "What am I going to be made free from? What do I get? What am I being made free from?" So let's say you go to someone and you say, "Jesus can make you free." And then they say, "Free from what? I'm fine. Like, I got a job. You know, I have money. I have a family. I'm pretty happy. I don't feel like I'm in slavery to anything. Well, I'll tell you one thing that the freedom that you're offering them is not. It's in 1 Corinthians. We'll start in verse 20. It says, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 20, it says, "Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called." Were you called while a slave? Don't be concerned about it. But if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called. Historically, here's what Paul's talking about. He's talking about circumcision, uncircumcision, and he's talking about people who were slaves in that day. And, you know, as the gospel was going forward, there were some slaves who accepted the Christian walk. And I'm sure the question came up in their mind because they understood that Christianity didn't teach slavery. But so they're saying, well, I'm a slave, but I want to be a Christian. You know, what do I do here? Like, I don't want to be a slave anymore. This isn't right. And Paul counsels them. He says, well, this is actually something some people might not like to hear. If you were a slave and you heard this, he says, well, just remain as a slave as you were called and do your duty while you're there. Because rebellion just breeds more rebellion. We can see that in Christ's life. And not that slavery's right, and praise God, in due time, slavery for in large part has been done away with in the world. But, you know, there still are people being bought and sold as slaves around the world, and it's a horrible thing. Here's the point of the freedom here. The people called to be Christians were in literal slavery when they were called. But yet the gospel says you get freedom in Christ. So when you're promised freedom in Christ, it does not promise you freedom from your life circumstances if they're not favorable. God does not promise that right away. When you look at even the great prophets of old, you look at Joseph, you look at, who else do we have? Some people that were in some unfavorable situations. Well, Paul was imprisoned. Anyone else? Daniel, he was captive in Babylon. These people were not freed from disagreeable life circumstances while they had freedom in Christ. So I just want to say, when you ask for freedom in Christ, or if you offer freedom in Christ to people, make sure they know that it's not just a ticket out of the bitterness of this life. That's not what it is. So here's what freedom actually is. Let's go to Romans 8. Freedom is in Romans 8. Romans 8:1 says, "There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Condemnation is the opposite of freedom. Condemnation equals no freedom. And there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay, so we already established that is not freedom from life's bitter circumstances. But here's what it is. They don't walk according to the flesh, but they walk according to the Spirit. That's freedom. In verse 2 it says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. So Jesus comes to this earth, and the Bible says he condemned sin in the flesh. So Jesus actually took the thing that wasn't making us free, sin is condemnation. He took the thing that wasn't making us free, that was condemning us, and he condemned the thing that was condemning us, sin and death. So now, next to sin and death in the record books of heaven, it says condemned. They're going to be destroyed. The Bible says in Revelation, death and Hades, they'll be cast into the lake of fire. There'll be no more sin, no more suffering, and no more death. No more death, no more sin. That's the freedom. And that got me excited to see that Jesus actually reversed the whole sin and death thing. I thought that was really cool. Jesus is the one who makes us free. So in this new year, we owe it all to him to give this year to live freely in him, to walk in the Holy Spirit. Do you know what it feels like to walk in the Spirit? There's a freedom in it. It's, you know, the sinful desires or temptations of the world come at you. But when you're in submission to Christ, they don't have power over you. And it's a good feeling to have victory. You know, if you've ever been in athletics or just won anything, it feels good to win. And it feels good to win in the battles against the devil. It feels really good. And there'll still be things as long as life lasts to have victory over. But the Christian walk is a continual, abiding, and walking, victorious walk. And it says here in... I have a question here. How did the Son make us free? How did the Son make us free? How did Jesus, the Son, make us free? Yeah. He died for our sins. He literally gave up his life for us. And in his example of giving his life up for us, he's opened up the gates of heaven. He's opened it up. And he's given us the example of how we're to live our lives. So, we'll go back to the Sideways 8 store. So, the man is at the checkout counter, and the clerk looks at the guy, and there's no cart. No cart. Looks in his hands, there's nothing in his hands. And the person at the checkout says, "Hi." And the guy says, "Hi." And then the guy at the checkout counter says, "Can I help you with anything? I see you don't have anything to purchase." And the man from out of town says, "I want it all. I want it all. I want the store, and I want everything in it." And the guy at the counter says, "Well, how can you pay for anything? We haven't sold anything in years. This is the Sideways 8 store." You know what a Sideways 8 is, right? Not zeros. Sideways 8 is infinity. You take an 8 and you turn it sideways, that's infinite. So this is the store of infinity. Everything costs infinity. You can't buy it. So no one's ever bought anything. No one been able to buy anything in the store. But this guy comes in and he says, "I want everything." And he pulls out a card, and it has the Sideways 8 on it. And the clerk says, "I've never seen that before. But go ahead, put it there in the credit card machine, and we'll see what happens." Guy puts a card in. It says, approved. Approved. That man from out of town is Jesus coming to this earth and paying everything for it. We're all the items in the store, and the guy at the checkout counter is, I should have portrayed it a little better, but it's actually the devil. He doesn't, or the manager is the devil. I just thought of that as I'm telling the story. That wasn't in the previous practicing, but basically the clerk says, no, you can't pay for this. And it's true, nothing in the store can be bought except by Jesus with that card for infinity. And Jesus has paid everything. He's paid the infinite price for you to have freedom. Is that something you want this new year? Amen. Well, raise your... It's a new year. Stand with me. Stand with me. We'll stand today. Let's stand up and let's pray together.